Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This is WTIC's Law Talk, a project of the Hartford County Bar Association. If you have a legal question, call now, 860-522-WTIC or 800-966-WTIC. And now, it's time for Law Talk on WTIC News Talk 1080 and WTIC.com.
Okay, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Law Talk. It is WTIC News Talk 1080. It is Saturday afternoon, and I am Attorney John Matulis from the Hartford County Bar Association. This is your legal interactive toolbox. Our whole purpose here is to dispense legal advice, legal information, help you sort of navigate your way through all of those rules and laws and regulations that are out there, some of which seem to exist solely to bedevil all of us. A little bit different today, though. Because of a scheduling issue, the program had to be pre-recorded. And as some of you understand, that means that we're unable to take live phone calls today. That will change. We'll be back next week. We'd love to hear from you live. But in the meantime, we have a whole series of curated topics that I think you're going to find interesting. With some luck, it'll be educational and certainly worthwhile joining us. So we're going to be here right up until 1 o'clock, and here's what we're going to be doing, okay? First of all, one of them based on an actual case in our office, who gets possession of the dead body when there's a fight in the family? Yeah, believe it or not, that is an issue. It's come up before. There's some laws about it, and we will tell you the circumstances and see what we can do to explain exactly how this plays out legally, okay? Second topic, and we're going to spend a fair amount of time on this. We've had a number of listener calls asking about title lock, and this is something that's been advertised extensively on the internet and on various radio stations, including this one. The title lock program, if I can call it that, purports to prevent the title to your home from being stolen and all kinds of terrible things happening to you as a result. So we've done some research on this because it's an important topic and we wanted to be very careful. We've got this analyzed. We've got it down pat, and we're going to tell you basically what it is, how it works, whether you need it, and so on. After we finish that up, we're going to visit one of our favorite areas. I'm going to refer to it as dog law, and this fits in well because we're followed by pet law right here and pet talk right here on WTIC. This particular case, well, if you're unhappy with the health of the puppy that you just bought from the puppy store, which was advertised as fit for sale, you ought to listen to this one and see what happens. And this is based on a case called Darnaugh versus Puppy Love, LLC. It has nothing to do with teenage juvenile infatuations. It's a limited liability company, and guess what they sell? Finally, if we've got the time after that, we're going to visit Elon Musk and one of his most recent legal, I'll call it a misadventure. It has to do with purchasing stock in Twitter. And Elon is everybody's favorite eccentric multi-billionaire, richest man on the face of the earth, apparently. So we're going to talk about how he got himself into some potential trouble there and the class action lawsuit filed by other purchasers of Twitter. So we got lots coming up. If for some reason that doesn't cover it, At the end of it, we'll talk about agents under powers of attorney, and if you are concerned about what somebody has done in that capacity, what your remedies are, and how you can force them to fess up. So we're going to be doing all of that, and we'll be doing that from now right up until 1 o'clock right here on WTIC News Talk 1080. Okay, first topic of the day. This is based on a real case. The names have been changed to protect the innocent and the not so innocent. And it goes like this. Okay, Donna lives in Willimantic. She was a lonely soul, and she had some personal problems. She had no spouse, no kids. Her mom was dead. Her dad had retired and moved to Florida 12 years ago, and she had a half-sister whom we will name Susan. And Susan lived here in the Northeast. Significantly, Susan was estranged from their father. Donna, who was in her mid-40s, dies unexpectedly. The hospital finds a phone number for an old boyfriend of hers. The hospital calls him up. Whom do we notify about Donna's death? The old boyfriend says, well, call Susie. And he provides a phone number. Susie signs paperwork that says she is the next of kin since, as she puts it, Dad is of parts unknown and is estranged from Donna. That is totally untrue, it turns out, although he's clearly estranged from Susie. Having then satisfied the authorities, Susie has Donna cremated. She says nothing whatsoever to their father about this, and Frank, the father, eventually finds out months later when cruising the internet and stumbles across Donna's obituary. So Frank, the father, is furious. He had already purchased a family burial plot in Florida, had intended that Donna be buried in the family plot next to the spaces reserved for him and for his new Florida wife. He contacts Susie. Susie will not respond whatsoever to any inquiries from him. Frank doesn't even know what happened to Donna's ashes. So that's the story. The first question is, who had the right to possession of Donna's body? And I know it sounds a little bit grim, but this stuff comes up. And in this particular case, there's a specific law that governs all of this. So for those of you that keep track of this stuff at home, it's called 45A-318 of the General Statutes. And it does two things. The first thing it does is it sets out a sequence of individuals who have that right. So absent a written designation, first, the decedent's spouse. Well, no spouse here, doesn't work. Second, deceased person's surviving adult children. Donna had no children at all, let alone adult children. Third, person's surviving parents. Well, mom's been dead, but dad, Frank, the father, is alive. So legally, he is the one who would have had standing to make these instructions. And it's pretty clear he would have chosen differently because he already had that burial plot in Florida. And then after that would come surviving siblings, and there you have Susie. So we're going to have to take a break in a moment, but we're going to go over this in a little more detail, and we're going to tell you how you can avoid such problems like this with a document that you or any one of us can sign called a disposition of remains and appointment of agent. But it's at that time where I'm getting the sign here that we're going to have to take a break. So I just wanted to let you know that you're listening to WTIC News Talk 1080, WTIC.com, streaming audio on the net. And again, it's your Saturday afternoon legal interactive toolbox. I'm attorney John Matulis from the Hartford County Bar Association. And so we've got the rest of this story and a bunch of other things, including the business about title lock. All of that coming up right after this.
WTIC News Talk 1080.
All right, welcome back to Law Talk. I am your Saturday afternoon legal host, Attorney John Matulis, and we are here until 1 o'clock. In case you just joined us, mentioned earlier that due to a scheduling issue, program had to be pre-recorded. Only change, no phone calls from listeners this week. Instead, we've got a whole bunch of different stories, legal issues, and things to go over with you. We're going to get very shortly to the business about title lock, which we've done some research on to make sure that we've got it right and that a number of listeners have called about previously. Let's finish up with the business about how you can avoid having family members squabble over what happens to your remains when you're gone, okay? This same law here in Connecticut sets up a document called a disposition of remains and appointment of agent. And I don't know where you can find it, except that the document text is embedded right in the statute. It looks like it's going to be about half a page, so it would be really easy to create it and manuscript it out of there. I don't think that you need a lawyer for it. But the rest of the statute basically provides guidance. It gives the probate court jurisdiction to settle any such disputes. It requires that, under most circumstances, your choice of arrangements for your remains be followed. It gives you an opportunity to specify what your desired disposition would be, embalming, creation, cremation, whatever else, maybe what you want done with the ashes. And then it talks about a person who is going to be the agent to make sure this happens. And if they're not available within 48 hours, there's provisions for an alternate agent. So that is the answer to that question. The names have been changed to protect the innocent and the not so innocent. There are a couple of things that come to mind after that, which we'll just touch upon before we move on. Does Father Frank have any claim against Sister Susie because she intentionally, fraudulently stated they had no idea where he was and that he was estranged from Donna, the decedent? Well, that's a question that'll have to be resolved later, but it's something that somebody would be thinking about because in the case that gave the inspiration for all of this, that's exactly what happened. All right, let's talk about title lock. And as I mentioned, this is something that has been the subject of numerous phone calls from listeners as recently as last week. I think one of the questions is this something that I need? There are ads on the internet. There are ads on the air. If you listen regularly to this radio station, you have probably heard them also. So if you haven't, let me give you a little bit of a flavor of these ads. And this comes from an article in Forbes magazine, okay? The expert saying he only learned about this from what he describes as frantic radio commercials warning that your home can be stolen from you. They claim thieves can deed your property to themselves and then mortgage or even sell it without your knowledge. In fact, they may have done so already. You may have lost all your home equity. You'll discover the fraud when you are evicted by a foreclosure or new owner, okay? So that is the tone and the tenor of the ad, which has triggered all of this interest. Now, there's a couple of different solutions for this problem that we're going to talk about. There's title theft insurance. Then there's title lock. Title lock, in its ads, claims to put a lock on the title to your home. Actually, it turns out it's basically just a monitoring and a notification service. So we'll talk more about that in a minute. Now, just to make sure we weren't missing anything here, because this is serious stuff, we've checked the following. An FBI bulletin on topic. Consumer advocate Clark Howard, nationally known and respected, used to be on this radio program five nights a week for several years. Again, an article in Forbes magazine. We checked with the police department of a town here in Connecticut adjacent to Hartford. We checked with the vice president of a leading regional title insurance company and their senior title counsel. Looked at a couple of other related articles and publications. So this is not off the top of my head, nah, it's no good, or yes, it's good. We did some work. Here's the questions that emerge. Number one, how widespread is title theft? The answer based on our research is here in Connecticut, not very. The police department that we consulted stated they had no complaints of title theft. What they did have a couple of complaints about, they said, was fraudulent rentals. I said, what's that? And they said, well, absentee owner has a property for rent. Some fraudster posing as the owner shows it to prospective tenants, agrees to rent it to them, takes a deposit, and then disappears. That's different. Nobody is claiming to have taken over the ownership of the property, although what they described is just as bad. Okay. Other parts of the country may be different, and that may have to do with the volume of activity or exactly what is necessary in order to convey title legally. Okay. So that's not very widespread here in Connecticut so far as we can tell. Next question, if it does occur, how bad is it? Well, that's really the meat of this whole thing, because the alarming advertisements basically talk about all of the stuff that I just mentioned, that you're going to be foreclosed upon, you're going to be evicted, and so on. Well, it turns out that's not the case. Number one, and this is directly from the experts, a forged deed is not valid. It conveys nothing. If somebody buys a property from an owner who acquired by a forged deed, they're the ones that are going to lose, not the rightful owner. If some lender is foolish enough to lend money to someone who acquired title via a forged deed, they're the one who's going to lose. Now, why is that? Well, several different reasons. First of all, the signature has to be witnessed by two witnesses, at least here in Connecticut, and it has to be notarized by a notary public, part of whose legal duties is to be satisfied that the person signing the document is who they claim they are. Now, it's forgery is a felony in all 50 states. In addition, if you're colluding with the forger, your witnesses, or you're a crooked notary, aiding and abetting a forgery is also a felony. So there are serious consequences for that. Another thing here is that it's almost impossible for a thief to borrow money from a legitimate lender and put up the title of the house when they've acquired it through a forged deed. And we'll give you more of the specifics on that shortly. I'm getting the sign it's time to break for news, sports, weather, etc. So that's exactly what we're going to do. This is Law Talk. We're talking about title lock, and we will be back with more of all of that after this break.
And now, back to Law Talk on WTIC, News Talk 1080.
Okay, welcome back to Law Talk. I'm attorney John Matulis, and we're delighted to be with you this Saturday afternoon. We're talking about title lock, and we're doing that in direct response to requests from several listeners previously. We'll talk more about that in a minute. Before I do that, I needed to remind you that if you do not have an attorney and you're looking for quality legal advice, you're going to be hard-pressed to find a better deal than the not-for-profit lawyer referral service operated by the Hartford County Bar Association. Call them up. They'll refer you to an attorney who's already vetted. They are experienced. They are insured. They are practicing in the proper discipline to help you, and they are free of disciplinary entanglements. You get a half-hour consult with that attorney in the attorney's office, over the telephone. You can do a Zoom consult, whatever the two of you decide. And after that, there's no further obligation whatsoever. If you are interested in further legal services, that's possible. You can discuss that with the attorney. If the two of you agree to go forward together, that's fine. If you don't, that's fine also. Big question, what does it cost? Well, there's a one-time-only charge of $35 to help pay for some of the administrative expenses for office space and personnel and phones and everything else. And that's it. Nothing further whatsoever. On top of that, you got a personal injury claim or a concern, call them up. They will waive the $35 fee. You don't have one of those, but you've got a workers' compensation claim, ditto. No $35 fee for you either. Well, you don't fit into those categories, although Social Security disability is the reason you're calling. Same thing, no $35 fee. How do you access them? You call them at the number I'm going to give you in just a moment. Get your pencil out. Phone number is 860-525-6052. That's 860-525-6052. It is the Hartford County Bar Association's not-for-profit lawyer referral service. It's a good deal for your own sake. Don't go hiring a lawyer off a billboard or an internet ad or something like that. Give this a try. It's going to work much better. Okay, back to what we were discussing, the business about title lock, okay? The question was posed, well, what's going to keep this person from borrowing money and giving a mortgage and then walking off with the money and leaving me holding the bag? First of all, any borrower that applies for a mortgage is going to have to fill out an application. During the underwriting process, the lender is going to require credit reports, employment verification, income verification for some folks, back tax returns, appraisals of the property. How much of this do you think can go on before it's going to come to your attention that someone is doing this? The thief can't possibly cover all of that and make it appear that you're the one who is doing this. Finally, there's going to be title insurance also. So the lenders have so many different safeguards in place. That fear of a thief stealing your title and then borrowing a lot of money appears to be significantly misplaced and mentioned more for its alarming characteristics than for its accuracy. Somebody would mention, and this was in the Clark Howard article, well, there are cash purchasers also. And I guess the response that Clark Howard made was, well, they'd have to be tremendously naive not to have a title search done and to check some of these other items also. So it's highly unlikely they're going to do that. In terms of trying to evict you from the house, well, it all goes back to the point that a forged deed is invalid. It conveys nothing. They have no right to evict you if they're not the owner or the authorized agent for the owner. Okay, last topic on this before we get into the bottom line, and I'm not going to tell you what to do or not to do. There's the spoiler alert. Do these products help? Okay, there's two of them. One of them is called Title Theft Insurance. And in the Forbes article, it said that, well, for only $79, you can get coverage for up to $1 million in loss. But as the article points out, these folks are never going to pay a claim. Why is that? Because the deed that sets up the loss is invalid and the property is going to be going back into your own name. The other one, which seems to get a lot more attention, at least locally, is this so-called title lock program. This is basically a monitoring and an after-the-fact notification service. Clark Howard claimed that the fee is about $149 per year. And he says, this one is not a scam. It does exist. They actually will try to help you. And the question then becomes, well, is it going to help you? And is it something that you really need? Okay. The most important thing I think you can take away from this is that this is the difference between having a sprinkler system and a fire alarm. What do I mean by that? Well, if a fire breaks out, a sprinkler system will automatically try to put out the fire before it causes damage. A fire alarm doesn't do anything of the sort. It's simply going to notify you that there's a fire, or the fire department, whoever gets notified. So I think that the title lock situation is not analogous to a lock at all, because it doesn't prevent this stuff from happening. It simply monitors and alerts you. And then you have to take steps to try and correct the problem. And they have personnel, and they will do that if you want them to do. Now, one of the things to point out here that we learned is that in some counties in other parts of the country where that is the recording seat for deeds and everything, they'll let you know this stuff for free. All you do is let them know and they'll tell you of any activity surrounding your title. Here in Connecticut, for some reason, there's an article that says that the town of Colchester will do that. You live in Colchester, what you can do is notify them. You want to be notified of any such activity and they'll notify you. You know what the charge is for that? Zero. Okay. So what to do? Well, the best advice is to get what's called an expanded title insurance policy when you purchase a property or when you refinance a mortgage. Because if there's any fraud that occurs after the issuance of the policy, there will still be coverage. And they will have a legal duty to insure you, to indemnify you, and to make things right. Bear in mind that Title Lock is not an insurance product. It is a monitoring and a notification service, and that's what it is. So bottom line, we're not going to tell you what to do, but if having a monitoring and notification service makes you feel more comfortable, first of all, ask your town clerk if this is available in your town. If not, you want to consider Title Lock, realize it's not going to prevent any theft of title, simply going to tell you something happened, their personnel will try to help you, but ask what that's going to cost. So that is the fast rundown on all of this, and I hope that you find that helpful. For those of you that have called up and asked us about it, we've tried to give you the most thoughtful, the most thorough review of this just to make sure that we've presented the situation fairly, and we believe we've done that. Time for our last break, and then we're going to be heading right up to 1 o'clock with Law Talk. I'm Attorney John Matulis from the Hartford County Bar Association.
And now, back to Law Talk on WTIC, News Talk 1080.
Okay, back on Law Talk. I'm glad to be with you, heading right up until 1 o'clock. I'm Attorney John Matulis from the Hartford County Bar Association. Got a couple of more segments, things that are going on legally that I think you're going to find interesting and hopefully even helpful. Before I do that, just wanted to let you know that if you've got a topic, a question, present it to us. If we can't answer it over the air for you, or we think we need to do a little bit more research, if that question has wide enough appeal, we will go ahead and do that and we'll give you a thoughtful, researched, analytical answer like we just did regarding title theft. Okay? Want to tell you about a case that's pending in the Superior Court here in Connecticut. It's a case from the Stamford Superior Court. Mrs. Darno bought a puppy from a firm known as Puppy Love LLC. She discovered that the puppy was sick. She said that this dog was advertised as, quote, fit for sale, close quote. She said that this was a false representation. The dog had contracted a tick-borne disease before he was sold. So she sued the firm known as Puppy Love LLC for a whole bunch of different theories, and their lawyers moved to strike every count of the complaint. The court went along with it. So we'll tell you what happened, and we'll tell you what's going on since then, because this is not your garden variety, I'm unhappy with the dog case, okay? It's moving on to Oklahoma. There's a bunch of other things going on. So first of all, Ms. Darno filed a fraud claim. And she stated that she had been fraudulently induced into buying the dog because by the statement that it was fit for sale. Okay. Well, the court struck that count of her complaint. Basically, the court said, in order to show fraud, you've got to show a statement that was untrue when it was made. You've got to show that they knew it was untrue and that it was made for the specific intent of getting you to rely upon it, that you did rely upon it to your damage. In this case here, the court said that there were no facts whatsoever before it that even suggested that Puppy Love LLC knew that the representation was untrue. So therefore, the fraud count simply couldn't survive in the fashion in which it was pleaded. Okay? Okay, the second ground that the plaintiff had alleged was negligent misrepresentation, and this is where they alleged that Puppy Love LLC knew or should have known that this dog was sick and had this tick-borne disease. Court threw that one out also. Why would they do that? That sounded like a better theory. Well, it basically said there was no evidence that they failed to exercise reasonable care in obtaining or communicating information about the dog's health. Okay. Now, there were a couple of other notes that the court made, said there were no facts before the court suggesting that the dog's symptoms had occurred before the plaintiff purchased it, or that for some other reason those symptoms could have been known by the defendant Puppy Love LLC. So there are some other claims of fraudulent non-disclosure, negligent non-disclosure in the ever-popular Connecticut Unfair Trade Practices Act. They derive from the main claims, and the court threw them out also. Just a word on the Connecticut Unfair Trade Practices Act. This is the claim du jour for just about every action somebody can put it into where they can justify doing it. And it's been around for quite a few years now. What's an Unfair Trade Practices Act? It's something that's immoral, unscrupulous, illegal, but it has to be committed in the conduct of your own trade or profession. Why do people throw it in? Because if you can prove it, the court is authorized to award attorney's fees and punitive damages. So it makes a big difference in a case for one which is suitable for that. Anyway, just a little bit more about Darnow versus Puppy Love LLC. I mentioned it's Stamford. I mentioned it is not your regular garden variety case. Turns out Ms. Darnow has already spent over $15,000 on veterinarian bills for this dog, and now the case is moving, at least in part, to Oklahoma. Dog came to Puppy Love LLC from a breeder in Oklahoma. The particular disease that the dog has is from fleas that are indigenous to Oklahoma. And Ms. Darnow's lawyers are now asking the court to issue what is called a commission to allow them to take the deposition of the woman who actually bred the dog in Oklahoma. So we're getting into a case where there's lots and lots of financial and judicial resources that are being invested in this case. You almost wonder whether or not those resources being put towards the dog's welfare might possibly be better spent. But alas, I digress. We've only got a couple of minutes left, and I wanted to touch on Elon Musk, okay? Elon Musk is everybody's favorite controversial eccentric at this point, and I guess being the wealthiest man in the world will do that for you. But as a lot of us are aware, he announced recently that he had purchased 9.1% of the stock of Twitter and had all kinds of plans to, as he put it, quote, unlock its actual potential. Well, the real story here is that he bought it over time, which is what most people in his position do. But there's a federal law from the Securities and Exchange Commission which says once you acquire 5% of the outstanding stock of a publicly traded company, you got to file something called a Schedule 13. Well, he continued buying the stock, and he didn't file the Schedule 13 until he had already gotten his 9.1% stake. So here comes the lawsuit, okay? This is from people who say that because if he had filed the notice in timely fashion when he had 5%, there would have been a bump up in the stock. And because he didn't, there was no bump up. And as a result, he was able to buy stock a lot less expensively than he would have been able to had he followed the requirement of filing the Schedule 13. So the long and the short of it is the plaintiff's lawyers say the federal securities laws apply to everyone. By ignoring his obligations to make a timely disclosure of his purchases, he obtained an unfair advantage and profited at the expense of public investors. One more piece of litigation for Mr. Musk, and we will watch and see what happens on this one. That brings another Law Talk to a conclusion. Thank you all for listening. Thanks very much to Joey Burgoyne and the crew here at the radio station for doing the editing and the repair work on this. To the extent that this sounded good and you found it helpful, they get the credit. If there's any faults in it, they belong to me. I'm Attorney John Matulis from the Hartford County Bar Association, and we'll see you next Saturday.
Law Talk is presented as a public service by the Hartford County Bar Association. Its content is intended to be educational and informative, but is not considered to be formal legal opinion. If you want or need a formal legal opinion upon which to rely in decision-making, please consider formally engaging an attorney to review all relevant facts in detail and examine the pertinent law as it applies to those facts. A solid opinion means better decisions. The views expressed during this program are those of the speakers and not necessarily those of the Hartford County Bar Association, its officers, or its directors.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.